The race for Nevada's next governor has drawn a lot of attention. Not only will the election determine who will lead the state for the next 4 years, but it may also help decide key down-ballot races as well. KUNR's Paul Boger spoke with Democratic nominee for governor Steve Sisolak at a recent campaign event in Northern Nevada to see how the campaign is going and where the candidates stand on certain issues.
What role does rural Nevada and Northern Nevada play in your campaign and moving forward as if you become governor?
Well, it's a major role. I mean, rural Nevada and Northern Nevada are important parts of the state. I mean, it's one state. It's not three different states. It's one state brought together. Each of them have different attributes and different problems that they need to deal with. And we're attempting to get a grasp on what all those various problems are and how to deal with them. And I think we're learning a lot.
You've taken some heat from your critics and your opponents because they see you as a Southern Nevada guy who only cares about Southern Nevada. How do you dispel some of those critiques?
I think it's really unfair criticism. I spent 10 years on the Board of Regents. I've been at every part of Nevada there is. I've spent a lot of time at Nevada University, up here at University of Nevada, and I've spent time in the rurals at Elko, Great Basin, and Western Nevada, and Truckee, and the various schools. And people, I think, try to criticize. I know my opponent's done a lot of that because he doesn't want to talk about what the issues really are, and that's what I'm interested in doing.
So what are the issues for Northern Nevada specifically?
The issues that are in Northern Nevada are pretty much the same as around the state. I mean, education is a major issue for folks. You know, they're concerned about the jobs moving in the future, diversifying our economy a little bit, and availability and accessibility of health care. Health care is only quality if it's both affordable and accessible, and we want to do more in that area. There's some problems that are statewide, other ones affordable housing and the affordability of housing. Some of the infrastructure in Northern Nevada definitely needs to be addressed, and we need to do more about that. And rurals feel that they've oftentimes been ignored and haven't gotten the attention they deserve, and we've learned a lot going through Fallon and Firmly and Winnemucca and Lovelock and all the various areas to kind of understand what people are feeling and where they want to go.
So what are those feelings? You know, why do they feel ignored?
Well, I think that they feel that they don't have representatives that are in the constitutional offices. You know, they've got clearly assembly members and senators from them, but it's such a vast land area that you're covering, geographic area that you're covering in the rules, that it's tough for any representative to get to them sufficient number of times, and they feel they don't get enough attention that way. And unfortunately, it is a wide geographical expanse. I mean, you can spend days traveling and not getting to see an awful lot of people, but we're doing the best that we possibly can, and we'll set up an administration that hopefully is in touch with all the Nevadans, whether you live north, south, or rural.
So going back to some of the topics you brought up, healthcare seems to be a major issue in this particular election. How does the governor's office continue to protect Nevadans' healthcare, both here in the state and abroad?
Well, here again is an issue that my opponent and I are on exact opposite sides of. I agree with Governor Sandoval on his expansion of Medicaid, trying to bring healthcare into the rural so that they have accessibility. It doesn't pay to have healthcare if you can't get to it and you can't afford it. We need to continue to build on that, expand on that, make sure that stays in place. And our education system as it relates to healthcare, we don't have enough doctors because we don't have enough medical school positions in Nevada. We've changed a lot of that with the private universities and now with UNLV adding a medical school. So hopefully the future looks a little brighter.
Would you support a Medicaid buy-in system that I think Assemblyman Sprinkle's been touting about putting in again this year?
Without getting to the specifics of the, Assemblyman Sprinkle's bill, I mean, we could do more. I mean, that's a good place to start building from. I'm in favor of something that provides an affordable cost coverage for folks. At the same time, we have to be aware of the fact that, it's a big number, healthcare, and we've got to approach it from different angles, both the delivery of the healthcare, prescription prices that are associated with the different healthcare prescriptions, and like I said, getting it delivered in rural Nevada, that's been a problem in and of itself.
So how do you keep the, like, under the insurance exchange right now, there's only one healthcare provider for most of rural Nevada. How do you expand that?
Well, I think you talk to the healthcare providers and you explain to them the benefit and what we need, why we need it, and to try to make it competitive for them so that it's an option that they can do. I think that more that you diversify the base in terms of not having just those who are the most high users involved is beneficial. And I think we need to explore those options that we can expand the coverage areas so we're bringing rates down for everybody.
Switching gears a little bit to the economy, what do you do to expand the economy? How do you get the state like Nevada that is so incredibly dependent on tourism to diversify its economy? How do you do that?
Well, through thoughtful Governor's Office of Economic Development. I mean, What you saw at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Park has been incredible. I mean, it's a good start. I think Northern Nevada has been more flexible in terms of doing that than other parts of the state. They're calling this a Silicon Valley, that, you know, moving east from California, by bringing some of those high-paying, high-tech jobs in here. And those are very important jobs. They're clean jobs. We need to more expand upon that. We also need to get into the, we don't manufacture and distribute much in the state of Nevada. I was at a small farm this morning where they can in their own preserves and jams and produce, and I'd like to get into distributing more of this stuff that you can expand the economy here. We can get some exports going out of the state of Nevada. It's something we should be proud of and do whatever we can to help those jobs flourish.
So why do you think there's been that delay, or not delay, but why do you think Northern Nevada has flourished a little bit more than Southern Nevada in that diversity, economic diversity?
Well, I think part of it is the proximity to San Francisco and Silicon Valley, that they've, some of the folks that cost of housing in Northern Nevada has gotten expensive, but it's not on the same scale even as that in San Francisco. So that's, I think, forced some companies to move here. I think you're going to continue to see that migration coming into the state, that, you know, we want more people here, and we want those jobs. Those are good jobs. And I want to focus a little bit more on the small and medium-sized jobs, because every big company starts as a little company. And if you can get them as a little company and help nurture those companies and help them along, we could have some big players in the market in the next decade or two. And I think that that'd be appropriate way to start, is helping the little businesses, not just the big ones.
What about affordable housing? It's been such an issue in Northern Nevada, at least in Reno, Washoe County specifically. What is the answer to that? Is there an answer, a quick fix, if you will?
No, there's not a quick fix, I can tell you that. And I've talked to Mayor Sheevy and some of the folks up here about affordable housing in different counties. They've got a, we approach it in a little different way, and, you know, I've talked to her about it. Land prices is one of the big things that go in. So in order to make the land more affordable, you have to make it a little higher, a little denser, you know, put more units per acre on some of the properties. At the same time, people have a quality of lifestyle where they like a little more room up here than you're used to, and you don't have a block wall between every house in Northern Nevada like you do in Southern Nevada. So those are some things that we have to work with the BLM to try to get some of that land released at a more affordable cost that could be divided and made into smaller ranchette type things, you know, half acre and three quarter acre homes that I think people would be more agreeable to looking at. But we need to do something. This is the first generation that it's looking like the affordability of owning their own homes and the option of doing that is escaping a lot of folks. And that's a sad commentary. We need to try to fix that.
The question one, Bill, from last time. The background check law that went into that was supposed to go into effect over the last couple of years, that's been, I guess, on a roller coaster, essentially with a judge recently backing Attorney General Laxalt's decision that it was unenforceable. You know, where do you see that moving forward, and how do you get that codified into state law, that kind of bill?
Well, after, you know, seeing the increase in gun violence that we've had across the country, not just across Nevada, but across the country, and you're seeing the high-profile ones, you know, the ones at schools and shopping centers or whatnot, you're not seeing the daily ones with DV cases where we've got people getting restraining orders on a domestic violence, and they're subject of the restraining order is going out and buying a gun that afternoon without getting a background check, and then somebody ends up dead as a result of it. That's a big, big problem. I'm a big believer in, I've always used a philosophy in working at the county and being chair of the county commission with something that I'm involved in. I find a way to get to yes, I find a way to get it done. And I wish that Attorney General Laxalt would have done that, would have found a way to get it done in terms of working with the federal government, and I'm sure that they would be our partners in that. We could come up with a possible solution so that we could implement the background checks that voters voted for. I mean, right now you can be on the no-fly list. You go back to the airport and you got an airplane, you're on the no-fly list, and you can still go buy a gun. That says something about our background checks.
The where you are on the gun issue was a major topic during the primary. So why don't we go ahead and ask, where are you on the gun issue?
Well, I don't know which specific issue you're talking about. I'm definitely in favor of implementing question one, the background checks. I do not support bump stocks. I don't think there's any reason to have bump stocks. And expanded cartridges is another thing. I don't think you need 50 or 100 rounds in an expanded cartridge. I mean, it's not meant for hunting. I don't know if people are claiming it's made for target practice, that they need that many rounds, but I'm in favor of good common sense gun laws, and that's what I'll continue to push.
there has been this, and if you went to the Basque Fry last week, you heard a definite message of, you know, a vote for you would be a vote for California's morals or California's laws or essentially the Californification of Nevada. Do you see that as an issue, and what do you make of that?
I don't even know what the Californication of Nevada is. I mean, that's, you know, California's got a lot of people from California who've moved here, have retired in the state of Nevada because of our tax climate is low. I'm in favor of quality schools, good education system, jobs, and affordable health care. And if, you know, my opponent wants to talk about, you know, what he would do to improve those things, I'd like to hear that. I mean, the name calling and the negativity is, you know, that's just the way they're running their campaign. It's disappointment.
What about, you know, with education? How do you continue to improve education at a statewide level?
Well, you've got to do a lot in education. One of the things you've got to do is put, people don't like to say it, but it's got to be addressed. It's my number one issue, and part of that is money. If you want to recruit and retain the best teachers, we have to start paying them a living wage, which we haven't done in the past. Class sizes need to be smaller. Now, there's a big difference between when you get into the rurals, they have much smaller classes than they do in the urban areas, which is one of the big benefits that the rurals have that sometimes I don't even realize when I'm in the classrooms there and they have 16, 17, 18 kids in a classroom in Winnemucca. They only dream of that in Washoe or Clark. They have that many students only in a classroom. So we need to take from that, and those kids' test scores are better because, I think, of the class size. So that's something we need to do. We need to do more in terms of paying the teachers so that you can afford to live as a teacher.
What about taxes? Are you, you know, you've been characterized as somebody who is not going to say no to a tax that you saw, a tax increase. You know, what do you think of that?
Well, that's ridiculous. It's getting my opponents with some unfair propaganda, and I've said this. I have voted for some taxes. I voted for more police officers for public safety in Clark County. I voted for better roads in Clark County. I voted to expand law enforcement's public safety in Clark County. And if you want to oppose some of those taxes, tell me which ones that you're going to oppose and how we're going to put more police officers on the street or improve our school system or make our roads better if we're not to do something on the revenue side. I think we've done a very moderate, fair assessment of the situation. These are voted on, accepted by the people, and people seem to be happy moving forward.
Your primary opponent, Chris G., did fairly well, especially in Reno, especially in Washoe County. There's been some talk that, you know, she's refusing to endorse you or that she's not going to back your campaign as a fellow Democrat. You know, what do you make of that, and do you think that that hurts your chances a little bit here in Northern Nevada?
No, I don't think it does at all. I mean, her supporters have reached out to me in droves. I mean, they've been very supportive, both knocking doors, making phone calls, and financially, which is a good thing. I think she did a little better in the North because she focused on the North, and we focused on winning. And, you know, we had to analyze where we could get to the vote numbers that we needed, and she analyzed, and our analysis came out correct, and we spent a lot of time up North now. We're spending, I think it's my ninth trip since the primary that I've been up North, so we've been up here a lot, and there's a lot more left to do. But her supporters are Democrats and people that saw what she believes and what I believe, and we believe in most of the same issues. And I'm confident they'll come over, and hopefully Commissioner June Kiliani will come on board. But she's made it clear that she's working hard as she can to defeat Adam Laxalt, so you have to remember that.
That was KUNR's Paul Boger speaking with Steve Sisolak, the Democratic nominee for governor. You can find all of our election coverage online at KUNR.org.